listening to the True Idaho News Podcast. Unfiltered news and opinion for the citizens of Idaho.
Hello and welcome to the True Idaho News Audio Edition, I guess we could call it, where we get to explore things from the news, kind of more in an opinion version. And I intend to do these at least weekly and probably multiple times a week. But we promise at least weekly, and I want to welcome you to the show. This is the very first one here we're doing. Obviously, this show will morph. It's going to change over time, but you get to be listening to the very first one, and I welcome you, and I thank you for tuning in. My name is Daniel Bobinski. I am the editor of True Idaho News, and I intend to, like I say, cover Idaho news and even some national news on this show. And I'll do so more, like I said, in an opinion piece than anything else. We'll cover the facts, but we're also going to offer a whole lot more insights and thoughts on these things in a way that you really can't do in the printed page. I sit down sometimes to write a story or have somebody write a news story, and we're looking at the facts of a story. And sometimes you want to interject your thoughts and your opinions on that stuff, and it's just not appropriate in the news format. But you want to be able to convey what's really going on without interjecting opinion. And so that's part of the purpose for this podcast. I'll oftentimes say, oh gosh, I want to talk about that story more than just what the news is about it. And really it's not appropriate. So let's just, I wish I had a podcast to do it on. Well, now we've got the podcast we're doing it on. And with me today is a co-host, Mr. Josh Gibbons, who is a political campaign consultant. He's the owner of Spire Visuals. He does video production. And he also is the host of his own podcast called What's Happening Idaho. Josh, welcome to the True Idaho News audio edition.
Hey, Daniel. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, this is going to be kind of a fun little adventure. I'm looking forward to see how this thing morphs over time. And I know when I started my new Book of Daniel podcast, which morphed into the Voice of Conservative Values podcast, Tracy Beans over at Uncover DC, she does her Dark to Light podcast. She goes, your first show will look and sound so different than your 50th show. It's going to morph. It's going to grow. Mm-hmm. It's going to mature. I'm sure this one will as well. What's your prediction for this?
Well, you know, it's she called it. It's going to morph. It's going to change. But you know what? It's going to be exciting to be along for the ride. So I'm excited for it.
And on this show, like I said, we're going to talk about some of the news. And probably the first thing we should do is jump into the big news from last week, which is the, I'll just call it what it is. It was a dog and pony show that happened down at the State House. The Idaho House reconvened finally to address vaccine mandates, to address mask mandates. And of course, the Senate came back into session. Now, we know that Mr. Bedke had been getting a lot of pressure from the people of Idaho to call the House back into session. I know the Lieutenant Governor sent him a letter requesting that he call the House back into session. I found it interesting that Bedke responded by saying he didn't think it was the legislature's job to tell businesses what to do. Frankly, I found that laughable because the legislature tells businesses what they can and can't do all the time. There's so many laws on the books passed by the legislature that when a legislator contacted the LSO, the Legislative Service Office, and asked for a copy of all the laws that the Idaho legislature had passed that affected businesses, they came back and said, you don't know what you're asking. There's thousands of them. You need to narrow your search. So for Bedke to come off and try to position himself as a conservative who doesn't think the government should tell businesses what to do, I thought was very disingenuous. Did you hear anything about that?
No, I haven't. But it doesn't surprise me that Scott Bedke would say something like that. You know, go back to when this first really started. It was starting with the medical industry. We had hospitals that were essentially telling their employees that they were going to be terminated if they didn't get the COVID vaccine. And people asked for Scott Bedke to reconvene so that they could address this. And he didn't want anything to do with it. Going back to the laughable part, you talk about the medical industry where this really all started, they are supplemented by the federal government and state funds in an extreme proportion. And to sit here and say, well, we don't want to get involved is just, again, absurd.
One of my colleagues contacted a legislator and asked, why can't we get anything going? The legislator responded by saying, Mr. Bedke is working with the hospital boards to try to get them to compromise and to say, okay, can you please make a mandate for the new employees, but grandfather in the old employees? I couldn't believe that he would do that. First of all, try to wheel and deal on his own instead of bringing the House together, the representatives of the people, to present their ideas, to debate their ideas, how our legislature was designed to operate. Instead, he's trying to play deal broker behind the scenes, if this is in fact true, where he's trying to wheel and deal. Even worse, that approach would have legitimized the idea of a mandate. And how hard would it have been then for a hospital just to say, hey, we're going to fire everybody tomorrow, and now you're all a new hire, and now we're going to require you to be vaccinated?
Yeah, even for myself, I look at this and I think it's absurd. I think of my bodily autonomy and wanting to preserve that myself. But more important than me is my children. And what he essentially was trying to broker with that is to have it to where we worry about ourselves, but we're not going to worry about our kids and the next generation that enter into the medical field. And to me, that's absurd.
Yeah, very short-sighted. And not looking out for the interests of the citizens. Here's a guy mm-hmm. who's been in the legislature so long. I think it is pretty obvious that people who stay in too long that end up getting the system into their system, they start looking out for big business who are donors who can wheel and deal and they get a sense of power, and maybe it's a rush, who knows what. And they start making these deals not in the best interest of the citizens. They look out for the interests of the businesses. That is not how our legislature was designed. The House of Representatives is supposed to be the house of the people. You go back to the original writings of this country, it is supposed to represent the will of the people, not the will of the businesses.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of Idahoans are seeing that now too. I mean, there was a flyer that was going around this when they reconvened this legislative session showing exactly whose votes are for sale. And it shows, if you follow the money, that a lot of the money that Scott Bedke is getting and redistributing is going to the people who fall rank in line with how he votes. So, and we're seeing that again, it's not what us, the people who are down there at the Capitol, are requesting. I mean, we saw this perfectly this legislative session when they reconvened. At the House, they killed every single bill that Idaho citizens wanted. So they fell right in line with what IACI was requesting, which is, hey, go ahead and address this federal mandate. But as far as addressing the people's concerns and these problems here in Idaho, let's just kill it. And it was blatant. It was right in front of our face. There was no even hiding it.
No, he didn't try to hide it. What was amazing to me was they spent several hours when they had their opening session going over the Priscilla Giddings public hearing and voting on that. And we'll get to that here momentarily. But that at the end, then he starts reading off the bills that have been presented. There was 29 bills presented. And he's reading off as to which committee is going to hear which bill. And he had, I don't know what, 7 bills that were supposed to go to the Health and Welfare Committee, which is chaired by Representative Fred Wood. Fred Wood had already said that he was not going to hear those bills. As you said, those were all bills that Idahoans wanted. Those are the ones that were going to protect citizens the most. And he was doing this. I watched the video and was just appalled at how he just manipulated the Roberts rules so that Heather Scott could not address the issue. He had assigned all of these bills to Fred Wood's committee. Heather Scott tried to pipe up and go, Mr. Speaker, you're assigning these to a committee that you know are not going to get heard. And then, of course, Mr. Cheney piped up and kind of defended the process that Bedke was manipulating so that it couldn't be addressed. And they weren't addressed. They were sent to die. That was done on purpose.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was 100% intentional. We even have confirmation of that. Correct me if I'm wrong on the name, but the vice chair of that committee is Vanderwood, I believe is his name. And even him, when approached about it, because the thing is Wood wasn't on the floor at first. So people tried to say, hey, you're the vice chair, go ahead and go forward and let's move forward with these. And he was told, I was told by Wood and leadership in the House not to do that. So, I mean, again, it goes back to they're not even hiding it. And again, you know, with that, Wood showed up after that and people asked him. And of course, he said, absolutely not. He's not going to do it. And why would he? His interests are not with aligned with Idaho citizens. They're aligned again with different lobby organizations like IACI. And this is his last year. He's not going to run for re-election. So it was a public middle finger, if you will, to Idaho citizens who have been begging to keep their jobs, to keep their livelihood, and support their family. And Wood decided that he was going to give us one last gift. And that was essentially almost, you know, to heck with you.
Yeah, it's a shame. It's criminal, if you ask me. He's a medical doctor. He's 75 years old. He happens to believe in vaccines. And so he, as a doctor, is allegedly thinking that he's going to decide for the entire populace of Idaho that, yeah, you're going to have to get a vaccine. In fact, we've got some people who've had private conversations with him who've shared with me the fact that he has said that if the federal government comes out with a mandate, he'll support it. So he's not worried about looking out for the interests of Idahoans and what they want, which is what a state representative is supposed to do. He's simply saying, well, I'll support this, even though the federal government has no authority to mandate that. We had a guest op-ed from an attorney over at True Idaho News talking about how this Jacobson case, everybody quotes Jacobson, Jacobson versus Massachusetts. It's a 1905 case. Fred Martin, senator on the Health and Welfare Committee, he keeps quoting Jacobson saying, yep, they can mandate. Well, this lawyer totally destroyed the Jacobson case and says, no, they do not have a right. Everybody's misquoting Jacobson. I would encourage people to go to True Idaho News and look that up, that the federal government has no right to mandate any kind of vaccine across the board. They don't. That was a state law. And by the way, people had an option to opt out of that state law vaccine by paying $5, which is now $155 in today's money. So you know what? If there's a state law that came down and said, hey, you have to have a vaccine or you pay $155, so I'll just pay my $155 and go on my way. So we have two Freds. We got Fred Martin on health and welfare on the Senate side. We got Fred Wood on the House side, both of them pro-vaccine. Both of them don't want to listen to bills. They keep putting bills in drawers. They are not following the will of the people. And Bedke did this on purpose. It was, as you said, it was obvious. It was clear. And the fact that the vice chair was told that he could not listen to bills, that just reeks of cronyism.
Yeah. Well, even more concerning than that is you know, he can use that as an excuse and say, well, I was told not to. Well, what at what point do you put Idaho citizens first and you stand up? That's what a lot of these career politicians don't get. At some point, you have to draw a line. They continue to fall in line, rank and file. Again, we are no longer as effective as we hope to be, and we see it with their display on the House floor, in committees, people getting kicked out. I mean, it's becoming a circus down there, an orchestrated circus, unfortunately, led by their ringleader, Scott Bedke.
Mm-hmm. Ron Nate was pretty upset about what happened, too. And I've got for those who don't know, I also do a radio show and a TV show called Voice of Conservative Values. So I basically have two avenues. For the listeners here, I have the True Idaho News outlet where I focus mostly on Idaho news issues. And then I also have a radio show that's aired in the Treasure Valley on KBXL on Saturday mornings called Voice of Conservative Values. And I also do a TV show called Voice of Conservative Values. It's a live broadcast on Thursday afternoons on Brighteon.tv. And it's totally free. There's no registration required. You just go to Brighteon.tv. On Thursdays at 2, as 2 o'clock Mountain Time, and you can watch that. And I had Ron Nate on this past week, and he was talking, he agreed with me. This was a total dog and pony show. He said that he thought that there was lots of promise going in. He said 29 bills were presented, only 7 were passed, and those 7 went over to the Senate. They only heard 3 of them, and they stuck them all in a drawer. So Patty Ann Lodge, thank God she's retiring, she just stuck him in a drawer. She, again, here's a senator who doesn't care about the will of the people.
Well, she's thrown that in our face. Look, Patty Ann Lodge has represented me since 2014 when I moved to District 11, current District 11. And I'll tell you, as a citizen in her district, getting her to meet with people, getting her to listen to people, getting her to even take any interest whatsoever in what the people are asking is almost impossible. I mean, there's a lot of times, look, if you get onto the Capitol, you can usually see a member of the House or a member of the Senate and say, hey, sir, hey, representative, can I have a couple minutes of your time? And a lot of time they will make that time for you. Patty Ann Lodge will not. You better call her and schedule it. And then you better hope that she doesn't tell you how Second Amendment she is and pull out a gun and show you. Well, that was an actual incident reported as well.
Really?
A couple of members of a Second Amendment organization did have a meeting with her years ago where she just pulled out the gun, you know, and said, oh, see, I'm Second Amendment. I have a gun. You know, it just reminds me, too, of a lot of these people who pose with, you know, the shotguns when it comes to election time. And you can tell that they're not ones who would normally hold a gun, but here they are trying to say, here I am. I'm definitely your person when it comes to this issue. And then when they get in there, they don't fight for you or for what they promised.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I would encourage people to go to True Idaho News. And there's a piece there talking about my interview with Ron Nate. And you can watch the video. It's embedded in the article. Ron talked about how a lot of people will run as Republicans. They'll put an R after their name and they'll vote Second Amendment. They'll vote pro-life. But that's about the extent of it. He said they are wrong on every other issue when it comes to Republicanism. And when you take a look at the Republican Party platform for the state of Idaho, and you read that, it's you can access it online. It's not hard. Just do a little internet search for Republican Party platform Idaho or Idaho Republican Party platform, and you can read it. And you can see a lot of these people who are claiming to be conservative Republicans are not voting in alignment with that platform. And so what you just described is exactly that. Here's Patty Ann Lodge, who's, you know, claiming to be a Republican, but is not voting that way. And I understand, by the way, that Mr. Greg Cheney, current statist or representative of the in the House, he's going to be running for the Senate to take her seat. Have you heard anything about that?
Yes, I have. He actually made an announcement that he would. I do want to kind of circle back to the Republican platform, though, because I live here in Canyon County, and one thing they a lot of the establishment, we'll call them, like to do is claim that those of us who follow the platform, we are libertarians, is what they want to claim. But what's funny about it is speaking about Greg Cheney and also another representative in District 11, Scott Syme, they both refused to sign the integrity in the party affiliation. If you go to the Idaho GOP's website, they have it actually to where there's an affiliation, integrity and affiliation, and two people who chose not to sign at all were actually Greg Cheney and Scott Syme. So it's not even where they're trying to hide the fact that they're not Republicans. They don't align with it. And there was even an option that if you didn't agree with something in it, you could say that way voters were at least informed, right? So an example given would be Heather Scott. She signed it, but she signed with one thing that she didn't agree with. And she said, I believe that we should have term limits, right? So people could see that she aligned and she would follow the Republican platform. But there was her one disagreement, and they could choose based off of that. Mm-hmm. These people hide behind the R in hopes that we'll just say, well, here's a Republican, let's just circle that name. And it's unfortunate, and that's why it's so important that we have shows like yours and also your website informing the voters of what's going on, because mainstream media is not doing that. That is not their mission at all. As a matter of fact, it's the exact opposite. Instead of telling people the truth and what's happening, they want to promote propaganda. And that's what we're faced with. That is the battle.
And it is a battle. And it is why we want to do this show. And it's we want people to hear why people do what they do. We want people to hear what's going on really and have informed decisions. Like as you said, they see someone on the ballot. They see they have an R after the name and they want to vote R. So they chose that person. When in fact, that person votes with Democrats a lot of the time. Which is nuts, and yet you could call yourself a Republican. And you nailed it with regards to the comments out there in Canyon County, where they're saying people who want to support and promote the Republican state platform that they're libertarians. How can that possibly be? If a person is supporting the Idaho Republican platform, how can you call that person a libertarian if they're saying, hey, let's adhere to the Republican platform? Makes no sense.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So we're going to be talking more about Cheney and Syme as we go in future podcast editions. Before we continue, Josh, I need to take a moment and do a little promo for our sponsor, which is Picture Perfect Window Cleaning. They are a triple diamond supporter of True Idaho News. If you go to trueidahonews.com/support, you can help support what we do. And Tom Lopak at Picture Perfect has become a triple diamond supporter, which enables him to become a sponsor of the podcast, because that's one of the benefits of being a triple diamond supporter. So if you have a business that you want to promote, you can simply support us at the triple diamond level. Or if you just want to get a shout out to somebody, you want to support another organization, maybe you want to support a nonprofit, feel free to become a triple diamond sponsor and we'll get you a shout out. Picture Perfect Window Cleaning does window cleaning, gutter cleaning, screen repair, power washing. And this time of year, they're doing Christmas lights. So give Tom Lopak a call, 208-401-6265. That's 208-401-6265. Tell him you heard about him on True Idaho News. You get 10% off just for mentioning this podcast. Tom Lopak at Picture Perfect Window Cleaning, 208-401-6265. Okay. I want to move on to talking about what happened to Representative Giddings. She was censured by her colleagues, by 49 of her colleagues. And we did some analysis of what the whole dog and pony show hearing was about, too. The Ethics Committee did not act ethically, and we can prove it. There's all sorts of stuff. I'm going to be doing a whole expose just on that hearing in the future. But here she was censured by 49 people. And I have a suggestion. I have a suggestion. We have 49 people who decided to not give a darn about the truth. In fact, I did an op-ed on this over at True Idaho News. I would encourage people to go read that. But I think it'd be hilarious for someone to maybe get some bumper stickers for the San Francisco 49ers and send those to the 49 legislators who voted to agree with the committee's findings to censure, and just say, you know what? I hope every time you hear the San Francisco 49ers, you are reminded that you voted for a lie, that you voted for something that was not true, and that you should be ashamed of yourself. I can't believe, when you take a look at the evidence, and I outline the evidence in this piece, what really happened and how they kept twisting the truth, I can't believe that representatives actually voted for that. To me, Josh, I think that these people who did, not all of them, but some of them were doing that as a political move to side with someone they think that's going to get elected to be lieutenant governor, Mr. Scott Bedke. What are your thoughts on that?
I 100% agree. The whole thing was a dog and pony show. Anybody who looks at the actual evidence could see that she did not do what they claimed. And as a matter of fact, Representative Crane was even caught on camera saying in Canyon County at a public forum that had she followed the process and not been so abrasive, she wouldn't have been censured, that they wouldn't have moved forward. On top of that, you know, you want to talk about political playing, using the purse of the state to go after an enemy in an election. They spent $63,000 going after Priscilla. That is more money than they spent going after Von Ellinger, which lasted substantially longer. Not only that, but when you look at the fact that we accomplished absolutely nothing reconvening the House this year, we spent $100,000. And the only thing we did was censure Representative Giddings. We spent $163,000 to tarnish the name of a veteran who has fought for this country, who's done nothing wrong, who's gone and stood up for the citizens of Idaho. And that can't be tolerated by a lot of these establishment.
I look at it and say what she was doing in sharing the link to the article was doing the job that the Ethics Committee failed to do. She wanted fairness. Right. She wanted
That's exactly it.
Yeah, she wanted the fair both sides of the story to be heard. She wasn't trying to get back. They said you're retaliating. They accused her in a letter on June 21st. We have a copy of it where they were saying we're concerned about your retaliation here. They called Jane Doe a whistleblower. She was not a whistleblower. She made an accusation. That's not a whistleblower. And then they said that the retaliation of what? All Priscilla Giddings was trying to do was to ensure fairness in the process. The ethics committee, when they announced a public hearing, they're supposed to release the complaint. Now, Brent Crane gets up there and he adamantly says, we're under no obligation to release both sides of it. Well, I guess that depends on how you define the word complaint. If all of the documents in the case constitute the complaint, then they should have been released. He's saying they don't, that the complaint meant only the person who made the accusation. Again, we could play semantics until the cows come home, but what an ethics committee might have done if they were being ethical was release both sides of the story to the press. They failed to do that. Priscilla Giddings wanted both sides out there. She contacts Von Ellinger's lawyer. Von Ellinger's lawyer says, yep, well, there's the police investigation has been dropped. Priscilla Giddings asked him, do we need to redact Jane Doe's name? Do we need to redact her name? He says, no, the police investigation has been dropped. Her name is now public. We can release this without having to redact. She asked a second time. And I can say this, that if the ethics committee had been ethical and they had taken his version of the story and redacted her name and released it with everything else, it would have been a whole lot more ethical and none of this would have happened. But I think they were on a witch hunt to do this because if it was really about protecting Jane Doe's identity, they would have gone to her right away and said, Representative Giddings, not a good idea here. Why don't you take that off of your, they went to when those two immigrants, they're political refugees from another country. They moved to America. Jane Doe takes the wrong turn out in the hall. We don't know if it's purposeful or not. And so these immigrants go up to her to interview her and to ask her, and she's screaming and moaning and wailing. And so Cheney takes the opportunity to dox those two people. He publishes their faces and their names. He purposely puts that on his Facebook page, trying to out them. That's dangerous. His colleagues then go to him and say, hey, Cheney, not a good idea. And then he takes it. Yeah, okay, he takes it down. But Priscilla Giddings wasn't afforded that opportunity. They waited until she was on the stand to play gotcha. That was totally a setup on their part. If it was really about protecting the identity of Jane Doe, they would have gone to her right away and said, hey, you might want to take that off your Facebook page. It was not about protecting the identity of Jane Doe. It was about playing gotcha with Priscilla Giddings.
Right. You know, just to build off that, it's like you said, she didn't release the name. Our former attorney general and former lieutenant governor, Dave Leroy, did. He released it to the media. So at the end of the day, if I see a news article and there's something that is, let's say, undesirable, right? But that was a pretty big article. That's the other thing people need to take into consideration too. When somebody's sharing something, it's a lot like Representative Nichols. She has a history of, hey, I want to read this later. I'm going to go ahead and post it and share it. That way I can reference it back later, because there's a lot of articles where you find information. Not only that, but at the end of the day, she shared an article. She didn't choose what picture popped up. She didn't choose, you know, what information was in there. And it was a lot. I'm sure you read that article. It had both sides of the story. And that's really at the end of the day, what people were asking for.
I was appalled at the illogical leaps. It was comical, if you're logical, to listen to John Gannon and Wendy Horman and John McCrosty and Brent Crane and Sage Dixon. It was comical. It was a farce to listen to their unbelievable reaches, their illogical leaps. And for Wendy Horman to say she's fundraising to pay for lawyers that she doesn't seem to have. It's like, come on, Wendy. You can be hiring attorneys to discuss things and not have them come into the courtroom. Don't be so obtuse. You had John Gannon trying to say that legislators were administrators and that Jane Doe was an employee. He said, I don't know if she was an employee or not. How hard is it to go down to the HR and say, hey, does this girl receive a paycheck? This is not hard. This is investigation 101. and you're paying these lawyers from Holland and Hart to do this work, and they're not, like you said, 60,000 plus, and they can't figure out if she's an employee or a volunteer?
Absolutely. The reach that they did was, I mean, they were just grasping at straws. You know what's funny is watching Holland and Hart's lawyer try and go after Priscilla was just, it was funny. Even he was reaching. And it felt a lot like that and reminded me of it when I watched the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. The prosecutor was reaching as well. And anybody who actually watched either trial could see that they had one thing in common. And that common thread was that both sides were just trying anything they could do to try and paint the character of the person they were going after horribly. And both of them failed. But unfortunately, not enough people watch the news or watch what's happening and pay attention. So they go with the media narrative.
Mm-hmm. They do. That whole August 3rd expose, when they got up there, those five representatives got up there, that was all for TV. That was talking points, calling her a whistleblower and, you know, John Gannon. Well, that's essentially what she is. No, it's not essentially what she was. I was very surprised that attorney McCrosby, referred to Jane Doe as a sexual assault victim. She was not an alleged sexual assault victim. I would go with that. But to openly state that she was a sexual assault victim and so declarative, that is totally unethical. And as an attorney, he should know that. And you have Sage Dixon up there, chair of the committee, who is not calling him on it. You've got the Holland and Hart attorney. How many hundreds of dollars an hour is he getting paid? He's sitting up there. That would have been laughed at any courtroom whatsoever. This whole system of the ethics committee needs a major league overhaul. Oh, and one more thing, if I can just wrap this up, I guess, unless you have some final thoughts. But I was appalled also. It was laughable that Brent Crane, with a straight face, said, "I didn't know Scott was running. I didn't know Bedke was going to run for lieutenant governor. I have multiple legislators who will testify that Brent Crane was very well aware that Mr. Bedke was going to be running for lieutenant governor. He hadn't officially announced. So could Brent Crane say, I didn't know? I guess that depends on how you define the word no. We want to play the Bill Clinton game, which is what he was doing. In which case, Brent Crane was doing exactly what he was accusing Priscilla Giddings of doing. That he said that she has to tell the whole truth. He wasn't telling, according to what I've heard, the whole truth. So it's very laughable. We call that kind of behavior hypocrisy. So I would just say this whole ethics committee thing was a farce. And you have any closing thoughts on that, Josh?
No, you're absolutely correct. I mean, Holland and Hart did receive over $100,000 this year. So your assessment of that, while I haven't looked back at prior years, just looking at just the two ethics committees that happened this year, they received over that $100,000. So you're spot on there. You know, it's just like Brad Little, right? He hasn't announced yet. Are we going to sit here and act in naivety that he's not going to run? Same thing with at the Capitol. You know, a lot of those legislators will tell you straight up that it is just like high school there. And you have your cliques and everybody knows everything because there's gossip. So I think you're absolutely 100% spot on with that.
Well, let's wrap that up then by talking about the change in the lieutenant governor's race, because Priscilla Giddings had announced for lieutenant governor. Scott Bedke then announced to run for lieutenant governor. And Luke Malek up north, he had announced that he was running for lieutenant governor. Well, turns out on the 21st of this month, he announced that he was going to be, quote, deferring his efforts to become Idaho's next lieutenant governor. And he's basically bowed out of the race, leaving Bedke and Giddings. One has to wonder what kind of phone calls occurred and what kind of conversations happened for Luke Malek to say, yeah, I'm going to bow out and let Bedke. He didn't want to split the vote, he said.
Yeah, you know, let me be the first to say, if Scott Bedke wins, I just want to congratulate Luke Malek on his new appointment to whatever that happens to be. I mean, the problem is here in Idaho, we have these backroom sweetheart deals that happen. And, you know, it's unfortunate because this is just business as usual here at the Capitol. And it's time for a change with that. And that's really why we have to get out and push for conservative candidates to be elected here in Idaho.
And the establishment Republicans, those people who will vote 2A and they'll vote pro-life, and that's about it, they have this tendency, this propensity to refer to conservatives as extremists, as you said, libertarians. And it's like, this is just a facade. This is a paper tiger. It's all contrived comments for a narrative to try to get people afraid. If you go back even to the early 60s, when Lyndon Johnson was president running after the assassination of John Kennedy, and Barry Goldwater was running against him, the news media kept referring to Barry Goldwater as the radical right. That was their phrase. It was a talking points phrase that they used to scare people, the radical right. And nothing has changed in these almost, 60 years of people twisting words, twisting meanings to try to manipulate people and not being ethical nor truthful.
You know, it almost reminds me of kindergarten when you're on the playground and somebody pushes you to the ground. You look at them and you say, hey, stop bullying me. Instead of acknowledging their bad behaviors and what they're doing to Idahoans, what they're doing is they're flipping the script and saying, I'm not bullying you, you're bullying me. That's what we have in the Idaho House and Senate.
Mm-hmm. Again, with these talking points they're trying to push in this letter that Malik released, he said extremist politics threaten everything Idahoans hold dear. I would agree with that statement. The extremists happen to be people like Luke Malik, who supported Obamacare. Mm-hmm. The extremists include, Scott Betke, who likes to do backroom deals and ignore the will of the constituents. So anyways, it's going to be an interesting election coming up. We've got the primary happening in May, and lots of activity going to happen between now and then. So it's going to be imperative that conservatives really get involved.
Yeah, and to really hit home that May primary, a lot of people who have moved to Idaho recently from places like California are acclimated to the fight being in November. We really need to emphasize that the fight in Idaho is in May. It's in our primaries, because at the end of the day, that's where a lot of Democrats will mask themselves as conservatives and get on their wooden box and tell you how conservative they are and how pro-life and how Second Amendment they are. You need to look between the lines. You need to really look into these candidates and get involved. That's the most important thing, is get involved. Let's get good conservatives elected who will represent the people. That's what we need here in Idaho.
Yeah, the true conservatives, not the ones who just say they are. And you're absolutely spot on. Most folks don't realize that the true election happens in the primary in this state. There's so many conservative voters in this state. They tend to go to the ballot box in November, and they'll vote for the person with the R after their name, thinking that's the best person, when in fact, the decision as to who that's going to be happens in May. So it's imperative that people who are political refugees moving to this state realize that the real election, you're absolutely right, happens in the primary. Got to get involved too. And you're a campaign consultant, so you probably attest to this as well, but it's you got to go out there and wear out a couple pairs of shoes, knocking on doors for your candidate of choice.
Absolutely. And this isn't a boogeyman that we're creating. I mean, this is right in our face where we can see it. If you go to sos.idaho.gov, you can see under elections division, where you'll actually see that the Democrats are putting more money here in Idaho than probably any other state. I would say Idaho is their next target. This is Rocky Mountain Heist 2.0. And if we allow it to happen, we're going to become Colorado. And we have to stop it now. Mm-hmm. This is what I say is this is the most important election cycle in Idaho history to date.
Mm-hmm. We should probably wrap this up, our first show here on the True Idaho News audio edition. I've been speaking with my guest, co-host, I guess you could say, Mr. Josh Gibbons, a political campaign consultant, owner of Spire Visuals, a video production company, and host of the What's Happening Idaho podcast. Our show, by the way, has been sponsored by Picture Perfect Window Cleaning. They are a triple diamond sponsor of True Idaho News. If you go to trueidahonews.com/support, we've got multiple ways to support True Idaho News. If you support at the triple diamond level, you automatically become a sponsor of this podcast. And we're very grateful to Picture Perfect Window Cleaning for that support. Tom Lopak is the proprietor. They do window cleaning, gutter cleaning, screen repair, power washing. And this time of year, they're helping people put up Christmas lights. They're doing the Christmas lights for you. And he's going to give you a 10% discount. So give Tom Lopak a call at Picture Perfect Window Cleaning, 208-401-6265. Josh, thank you so much for helping me with this very first edition, being my co-host.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to the True Idaho News Podcast. We'll catch you sometime in the very near future. Until then, be blessed.
You've been listening to the True Idaho News Podcast. Unfiltered news and opinion for the citizens of Idaho. Get more True News by visiting TrueIdahoNews.com. If you'd like to support this podcast, visit TrueIdahoNews.com/support. Thanks for listening.